Hello, it's time for Marlena.
That's Marlena.
It's Marlena, and she'll be taking all your calls and comments for the next 2 hours.
So, why not call her and share your opinions and thoughts? It's easy. Just dial 866-666-7926.
Marlena's program is a great way to share thoughts and ideas and meet new friends. I mean, everybody who's anybody will be there. I'm Paul, who are you?
I'm Reed, nice to meet you.
I'm Paul, no matter what that other guy says.
Now just a darn minute, I was doing perfectly well as Paul until you came along. You're a newbie, sit down and be quiet, you Paul wannabe, you.
Now listen you guys, our listeners haven't tuned in to hear two crazy humanoids named Paul bicker. This is Kate saying let's just all take a seat and listen to the cool callers and interesting topics coming up for the next 2 hours right here on Marlena. Give us a call at 866-666-7926. And now, here's Marlena.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Marlena. We may be having a little bit of technical difficulty to start the new year, but you'll catch it all on the replay. All the good parts, of course. I am delighted to be back, and this is a funny night to have technical difficulty because it's an open forum show. So if you don't call, because you don't hear, I'll just be talking a lot to myself. Oh, my goodness gracious, it seems like it's been forever since we've been here. I guess the last program we did had to have been around the 11th or so of December. I don't think we did one on the 18th, and I know we didn't do one on the 25th because we were cruising, and we didn't do one on the 1st because we were still cruising, and we didn't do one on the 7th, all of these, of course, being Pacific times, because when I came home from all that cruising, I wasn't feeling so well. I sort of got a sore throat or a cold or some darn thing, who knows, whatever it was that I got. And so here we are tonight. The telephone number to call if you're listening at any time, I'm doing it all backwards. If you are listening between the hours of 8 and 10 Eastern, I'm really out of the groove, kids, 5 and 7 Pacific on Sunday night in North America, or 1 to 3 Universal on Monday morning, then you're listening to a repeat and you shouldn't call. But if you are listening during those times, then definitely give us a call. We've got some MSN stuff going on here. Let's see. Okay. So Gary the Board Guy says we're back on the mainstream. Phew. All right. I hate it when I'm off the mainstream. It just doesn't work well. You know, when you're not on the mainstream, man, you're not on anything, you know? I mean, what can I say? We got a caller. Hi there, caller. You're on the mainstream, too. Isn't that a great way to start the year?
Yeah, you really sound like a top 40 DJ. Hey.
Hey, and now what's going on with you?
Well, this is Dave McElroy, first of all.
You know what, Dave? I knew that, but you know what, for a second?
But maybe nobody else does. You
well,
know? I know my voice is relatively...
I know, but for a second, I thought you were Stan the Man from Oregon. Sounded just like him. Just, almost just like him.
Well, that's not, I admire the guy, so I'm glad I,
yeah. Well, I admire him too, but let's not let his head get too big, you know.
But let's not let, no, well, let's not tell him that though.
No, no, shh. Well, it's just you and
all
me.
Alright, anyway, yeah. I never met him, I just admire him. Okay.
I never met him either. What's going on with you?
Well, let's see, I had several answers to your questions. You know, you had some questions you put out.
I did, yeah.
I've now forgotten every damn question.
Well, I have all the damn questions right here.
Okay, well, we can go down them one by one if you want, or if you want to be boring, or we could, you know.
All right, well, the first one was about the Google petition on visual verification.
You know, Pam and I have looked at that and talked about it and looked at it again and talked about it again and looked at it again, and we're still talking about it. I don't think she's signed it. I haven't yet.
Yeah.
The only reason is... I think it's really poorly written.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was looking, the lady that you had interviewed some weeks ago, Sylvia Cashton.
Right, right.
Rewrote it in the way I think that Greg should have. I mean, it's beautifully written down there.
Yeah.
And we may disagree politically, but Sylvia, she wrote it, and it was absolutely well written. Now, if she had written it, I'd have signed it out of hand. No problem.
Yeah, yeah.
She wrote, you know, what she did, she said, well, I'd like to make these suggestions, and she wrote what I thought was a beautiful petition, complete with the who, what, when, where, why this is being written, what it's for, it was very clear and concise, and, I mean, I'm thinking, if she'd written it, it would have, you know, no problem.
Yeah. Well, what about the idea of, you know...
The idea is absolutely a solid one. I mean,
yeah,
the idea that, you know, we need to get these catches. We need to deal with them.
Yeah.
I don't know how.
Yeah. Well,
again, you know, a bunch of people signing a petition, you know, that's... I don't know that that's...
Yeah, I don't know if it's the most effective way. I don't know if Google will pay any attention to it, but it's a positive step in... And one of the things I like about it is I think that it kind of motivates people to do a little bit of advocacy for themselves.
It makes people think, and again, I don't know, you know,
yeah.
And it may be counterproductive not to sign it. And if that's the case, I you know, I'm thinking about it, and I'll probably go ahead and sign it. I don't want to be counterproductive at all.
No.
So it may, in fact, be counterproductive not to sign it, thinking in those terms. And thank you for, you know, letting clarify that. That may, you know, the fact that it is something may be enough to do it.
Well, when I signed it today, and, you know, and I read it over, and there were parts of the way in which it was worded that I didn't like. But I thought, and this is no, I'm not saying you should think this, is just what I thought. I thought... You know, you didn't take the initiative to do this, Marlena. Somebody else did. And, you know, just participating in it is important. And so that's what I
said. That may well be, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. And so then the next one was, should blind people be permitted to use accessible parking?
That's a hard one.
Yeah.
I don't see why, let's put it this way, I don't see why they shouldn't be. Because, you know, there are times, and I never thought about this until somebody pointed it out to me one time, and it's true. In a hot summer day, you know, and this is mainly for guide dog users, but, you know, a hot summer day, you've got a guide dog, and those poor bare feet putting down on those cement, on that hot cement, yeah, I can see where, you know, getting up closer to a building would be to a real advantage and a viable one.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's something that, again, it's an individual basis. You know, I don't know that every, you know, they try to put these all or nothing situations,
yeah.
And it's really not all or nothing.
Yeah.
I certainly don't need an accessible parking space, but I'm not entirely sure that it wouldn't benefit Pam once in a while, you know, because there's no one answer, and there's no one answer depending on the day, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And what's going on. I do think, though, that with between that and the fact that blind people by, you know, in general are not allowed, you know, to use paratransit unless we lie, I think it's putting the blind at a, a distinct disadvantage over other disability groups, and I find that a problem.
Well, and that was one of my questions.
Yes, I know.
The eligibility, yeah, for paratransit services.
Right. I find that a problem. That I find it a problem, and this goes to both the parking stickers and the paratransit use. Basically, if we're saying, well, we're, blindness is a disability, but it's not disabled enough to need paratransit. Transportation to me is a very, very, very important issue. It may be more important than many. And I don't know if I've ever shared this with you. I have struggled, and I still struggle. I do not like me because I don't drive, and I never have ever since high school.
Yes,
it's been a fight.
You have shared that with me.
And to me, paratransit could provide at least a modicum of freedom. I think what I feel and what I believe is that blind people, and I say blind generically, obviously, but everybody, or people who do not drive, lack a certain freedom that is valued in this country. And I think that anything that can be done to ameliorate that would be beneficial. And I really think that ACB in particular, and all the blindness organizations really did fall down on the job in this back when ADA was being first invoked.
Well, now let me ask you this, playing the devil's advocate.
Sure.
What if I don't drive because I am very low income and I can't afford a car? Should I go on paratransit?
The problem with that is that, there's a lot of pretty low income people out there driving. They go out and they buy a piece of junk and they drive it. And I don't know that that's even a valid argument, one way or the other.
Well, if I see...
Because there is, when you drive... Okay, if you are low income, you can get a license. You can drive. A person who has epilepsy, or a person who... epileptic, if you've had a seizure in the last 5 years and it's documented, you don't have a license. I do think there's a difference between a person who theoretically could get a license, but for, say, income, and a person who cannot. And I don't care with blindness or any other reason that prevents you, that says by law you cannot drive, period.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where I would draw the line. Mm-hmm. Anybody who by law cannot drive a car.
Okay, but now I'm not sure about this. But I guess they can. I was just trying to quickly think of people who might not be able to be licensed.
Well,
like
you've got senior citizens whose licenses are pulled because they don't have the reaction time.
But can ex-convicts get licenses? I'm not sure.
Who?
Ex-convicts?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Okay. Oh, sure, they're licensable.
Okay. Is that a word, licensable?
Well, that's their license.
That's a good word.
Yeah. No, driving is not one of the issues it's not like voting or there are things that you lose.
Okay. What about? And again, I'm just playing the devil's advocate here. What about somebody who gets their license removed permanently?
From where?
Gets their license removed. Who has their license permanently removed? They can't get another one through a bad...
I don't think there are such people.
Oh, I think if you have a bad enough driving record, you can't
No, I don't think so.
Well, what?
Now, that would be nice. Now, that would bring into my next pet peeve. I just heard about another accident in Fresno.
Oh, no.
Where a lady, in fact, somebody you and I both know. Do you know Mary Beth Randall?
I do.
Well, she was run down on December 22nd. Basically, she was on a sidewalk. A car went out of control and I think it hit a bus bench. But anyway, she's got some fairly significant injuries. They said it's nothing broken, but apparently one of her teeth was pulled out by the roots, apparently.
Wow. Oh,
and I think we really need to start culling the people. You know, I think driving needs to be made a privilege again. It needs to be earned, and we just don't do that anymore. And that's why I would say again for people who have if they've lost their license for that kind of reason, I would have to say that there would have to be a documented physical reason.
I'm getting an MSN saying that driving under the influence can cause irrevocable loss of license in some states.
Good, and it should. Yeah. But again, that's not a physical yeah. disability. Yeah. Maybe there are, yeah. you know, again, I'm not one of these people. I do not happen to believe that alcoholism is a physical.
No, boy, you're going to open up that box.
Yeah, I do. But that's the way I feel.
Yeah, well, that's okay.
And I think that, again, if you cause injury to somebody, you know, people don't accept responsibility. They can injure someone else, and they just walk away.
Yeah.
And, yeah. you know, insurance basically feeds into that because, you know, insurance basically insulates you from the harm you cause.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. I don't believe it. I don't buy that for 1 minute.
Let me go to the final one I raised, and that's about the people who are raising puppies. To be in the guide dog program for whatever school, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Should those people with those puppies...
I believe they already are, aren't they?
...have the same rights?
I believe they already do, don't they?
Maybe in California, but
Or at least if they do... I know here in Visalia, we have a large group of puppy raisers, and at least in Visalia, they're allowed, and I think that's fine. I don't have a problem with
it. Okay, what about the argument that... The fact that you can go into these places with your guide dog is to maintain and uphold your civil right to be able to go into places of accommodation, and it's not granting the dog access. It's maintaining your right as an individual.
An interesting argument. I hadn't really thought about it in that regard. My only thought was that, you know, if a dog is being... groomed, if you will, pardon the bad pun, to be a guide dog, what better way of doing that than taking it into situations where the dog was likely to be?
All right.
That's my opinion, anyway, on that. I don't think, again, I think most people would be responsible in this. I don't think it would be abused, in that connection. People are committed enough to be guide dog puppy raisers. I think there's a lot of situations that would be abusable, but this one wouldn't be, I don't think.
All right. Well, let's see what other people think.
Great.
All right. Hey, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
All right. Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. Dave had a lot of really good thoughts tonight about some of the answers to these questions. So what are some of your thoughts? Give us a call and let us know. Boy, we had a wonderful time on the cruise. We totally enjoyed ourselves. And as Gary likes to say, spent a lot of time doing a lot of nothing or something like that. Hi there, this is Marlena. Who's this?
This is Kelly Saperja.
Kelly Saperja from the Northern Lights.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, I've had ACB Radio Mainstream going here for, I think since around 7, just about 7:30 or something here, my time, since around 6:30, listening to the rebroadcast of Blind Like Me and whatnot while I've been making supper, and it's great.
Oh, great.
Listening to it on the broadband connection here. I love it.
I'm going to have Phil Parr on my show one of these weeks.
Mm. Yeah, he's doing a really good job on that program.
Yeah, he's great. He's been doing that job for so long, and that show for so long, and he's definitely on my list of folks to bring onto the Marlena program and have people call him up and talk to him, and you know, he just adds so much to the mainstream programming.
Oh, that's excellent. Yeah, he does a terrific job.
Yeah. So what's going on in Moose Jaw?
Well, a couple of things, I guess. I wanted to respond about that Google petition.
Yeah.
And I was one of the people that signed it.
Okay.
And
now, why did you sign it?
Well, I think it is about time that Google get the message from blind people. You know that this is completely unacceptable behavior. You know, to simply ignore us or whatever, you know, in terms of making the visual verification accessible. And I especially find it really frustrating, like, not just on their site. Like, I don't really, you know, have a need for it because I don't have a Gmail account or anything like that.
Yeah.
But there's even been some bulletin board sites that I go to, little message things. And when you log in, they say that you have to enter this code, and there's no audible indication, you know, of what you're, you know, supposed to type in or anything like that. And they used to have that on this one site, but now it's reverted back to just the usual username and password, which is a good thing, because there was a time there where I thought I wouldn't be able to, you know, really go on there anymore.
That's really frustrating.
Yes. Well, especially since, you know, I would have to call somebody and say, could you tell me what letters are on the screen there and whatnot?
Yeah.
But,
and, you know, I've even tried looking at the screen with an opticon sometimes because, you know, I'm old enough to have one of those. And you can't. It just, you can't read it. At least I couldn't.
It's crazy. You know, you think that they would somehow, you know, the screen reader developers would somehow, find a way to implement this sort of graphic or whatever so it could be recognized.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't know. That's a tall order.
Yeah, but another thing that, you know, I got kind of annoyed with too, with Google, was, you know, if you try, as I understand it, if you try contacting them or whatever, you usually just get an automated message or something back. I got an autoresponder or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
And then there was that one story they had a few months ago, I think I read something about you, they were looking for people in the California area to go in and use Google on these certain systems or something. And I kind of thought that was a little prejudiced in a way, you know, because it was excluding everyone else, from the blindness community.
Well, were they looking for people to come in and test something? Cause I don't remember seeing that, so.
I believe it was something about they had to... They wanted the volunteers to come in and blind people to come in and do searching and whatnot on the computers. They would have some access technology loaded or something on there.
Well, but you know, and I have no idea what I'm talking about, so I'm only hypothesizing. But again, playing the devil's advocate, I think Google is located in the California area.
Yeah.
And it could be that, I mean, like, I've been to Microsoft and, you know, done some, I was one of the, I certainly wasn't the only one. There were many people, from the Washington area who went up and, over to Microsoft, and we tested, the audio, little files that they play for their visual verification. So, sometimes they just look for people in their area that they can watch physically and see them doing it.
Yeah. I'm not really sure if this was related to that, but it was something probably similar. But I just think that if they want, you know, feedback from, you know, the blind community in general, they should really put out a call for, you know, beta testers or anything like that, you know, to sign up.
Yeah. Unless they want them to do it at their site.
I guess.
Which could be.
And just one other thing I just want to mention, if I may put in a little plug for my show.
Yes, of course you may.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to just mention for anyone that didn't see the announcement there last Tuesday, I think it was when I sent it to the friends and our announcements list, that Northern Lights is now finally in stereo.
Hey!
And there's no breakup or anything. So if you were getting kind of annoyed with all the breakup and whatnot when I was on the dial-up connection, well, you don't have to worry anymore because it's all in stereo, and basically you get to listen to New Age music the way it was meant to be heard.
Great. Well, that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
That's fabulous. Well, I will be listening in stereo.
Excellent.
Yeah. So go ahead and give the time.
It's on Thursdays or Wednesday evenings in North America from 01 to 03 GMT. That would be, I believe, in Eastern Time, 8 to 10, 7 to 9 Central, 6 to 8 Pacific, I believe. And I may have forgotten some others, but...
It's actually, let's see, 1 is 5 Pacific.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because that's the only reason I know that with great authority is that's what time my show starts here. I never pretend to have this time zone stuff schnockered, let me tell you. So
I wish that there was a program you could get where you could, say, okay, what time would it be, in the Pacific
time zone?
Yeah,
I know, a nice converter. All right, well, we have a special short-term guest that I'm going to bring in here on the other line, so I'm going to let you go.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you very much.
Will you take care?
Have a good evening.
Oh, you too.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We've got a short-term, it's like short-term parking, you know. You can't leave your car there too long, but we're gonna pick up this other line. We're going to ask this caller to hang on just a second, and we'll be right to you. And we're going to bring in our special short-term guest. Hello, Chrissy Cochran. You are a short-term guest.
Hello, Marlene and Eberg. I am a short-term guest, and welcome from a cold London.
Oh, well, welcome, welcome. How are you this evening?
I'm not so bad. It's pretty late here, but hey, that's just the way it is.
Well, and see, this is a run-through for next week when you'll be my long-term guest, eh?
I wondered why you said short-term. There's method in your madness.
There's method in my madness, indeed. Now, you've got an interesting and exciting announcement that you want to make, and I want to let you do it on my show.
Ah, thank you, Marlene. Well, talk has been around ACB that they would like to start another stream, a multicultural stream and multilingual. Working title at the moment is ACB World, and it is hoped to get this up and running within the year. Now, a lot of that depends on whether we get extra capacity, server capacity, etc., which is now being talked about seriously, so it looks as though it will happen, and the feasibility of getting another stream up. But what I'm after, folks, I'm after volunteers for this who can speak other languages, or if anyone knows blind organizations, either in the States or anywhere in the world, that would like to put a show rather like we have on mainstream. I'm hoping to make it a cross between interactive and mainstream. In other words, there will be DJ shows in other languages with exotic music, all sorts of things, plus the typical things we get on mainstream but applicable to blind people of other ethnic origins. So that's basically what we're looking at. We're looking at ACB World, and I'm after volunteers. So if you know of an organization that may well be interested, if you could send an email to me at chrissy@acbradio.org and let me know their email address or contact details, I would be more than obliged, because we're literally just beginning to get it off the ground now.
Well, that sounds wonderful, and I'm very excited about this, and if I can help in any way, let me know, although I don't speak languages other than English, but I'm sitting here trying to think of people whom I know who maybe aren't even really on, you know, the web, but who are blind people, who speak other languages, who are involved in multicultural issues, and I can think of a couple. So I'll see if I can route them your way.
That sounds good. It sounds good. But as I say, a lot, it depends on our extra server capacity and things like that. And it has been talked about within ACB for some time, and it's really going to come to fruition hopefully this year. I'd like to get it within the first 6 months, but that may not be feasible. But meanwhile, volunteers, please.
All right. And moving on to next week's show, do you want to, I'm putting you on the spot here, but do you want to give people just a taste of what it is we might talk about?
I think we'll leave that as a surprise, shall we?
All right.
I'll put you back on the spot, my dear.
If you want to get to know Chrissy Cochran, join us next week. How's that?
There you go.
Did that work?
That worked.
Oh, good. All right, my dear. Well, you have a wonderful evening, morning.
And, I will.
And I appreciate your allowing us to put you on.
And I appreciate being on and also mentioning this new and exciting stream. I'm really looking forward to getting that going.
All right. And we'll mention it a couple of times throughout the night as well. The Chrissy at acbradio.org address is where people need to write if they have thoughts or ideas about folks who could help get this thing going.
Thank you very much, Marlena.
Have a lovely one.
And you.
Bye-bye. All right, we have a very patient caller. Hi there, caller. You get the award for being the patient caller of the night.
Well, thank you. This is Daryl Sandro, your guilty petition author.
Daryl Sandro, how are you?
I'm good.
Good.
I'm exhausted, but I'm good.
Yeah, I bet, after you put that whole thing together. Now, you wrote that petition, right?
I did.
Yeah. So let's talk about that a little bit. What gave you the idea? What do you hope will happen from this? What's kind of the background of it all?
Okay. Well, in various in sundry forms, I've been advocating for Google to fix this for more than a year now, and I got the idea to do an online petition. Through another podcast. I believe it was the Digital Experience podcast. He was talking about another situation, another group, where a successful online petition was done through petitiononline.com. So I was like, hey, wait a minute, I've been trying to figure out a way to garner attention for this issue for a long time now. And it certainly is something that's within my grasp to accomplish relatively easily, so let's do it.
Okay, and so once you did it, how did you publicize it? I know you publicized it on your blog, but I looked at the when I signed it today, and I did sign it. I looked at the signatures, and as I was looking at the signatures, two other people signed it because I was 498, and when I left it, there were 500 signatures on it. So how did you publicize it?
Okay, well, obviously a number of blind community lists, Blind Cool Tech, Blind Casting, Blind Tech, and Karen posted it in a few places, and my friend Tina posted it in a few other places. And then I'm also posting this to other bloggers and podcasters, and I will be distributing a short press release to the mainstream media, technology and otherwise. So you're going to get signatures from all over the place pretty soon.
Now, you were recently on Adam Curry's podcast, weren't you?
He's been on I've been on a few times, but the largest one, the most significant one, was DSC number 278, which was recorded live at the expo.
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of. And you were also on the KFI Tech Guy show, weren't you?
Actually, TWIT, This Week in Tech.
Oh, okay. What? And you talked about this issue there.
I did.
How was it received? What did Adam, I mean, obviously nobody's going to say, oh my God, we don't care if blind people get, you know, but do you think that they were sincerely interested?
I think so. I think Adam is interested. I don't think that, I'm a little concerned that we haven't really done any live testing of his services yet.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been able to get that far, and as we know, in order to really be sure that he's accessible, he really is going to need to do that at some point.
Yeah.
And we haven't done that yet, but I do believe that he's sincerely interested. We've had a few minor exchanges, and there are some good things going on, you know, I do actually try to help people learn how to become accessible. And Leo Laporte, Leo's a good guy. I think that him and his gang agreed with me, and I'm hopeful that they can at least from time to time give us some publicity, which is kind of what I hope will help instigate Google to resolve the issue.
Have you been able to talk to anybody at Google about all this?
No, I have not gotten any responses. I've written a lot of emails to Google to the addresses that they provide for that purpose, like accounts-support@google.com, and all any of us seem to get are sort of generic responses that don't really have any substance, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, Daryl, I haven't always agreed, and you know that I haven't always agreed with some of the other strategies that you've taken, but I commend you for doing this. Now, I did read where someone today on a completely different issue for a completely different reason expressed the opinion that that sometimes these petitions can do more harm than good, and I don't know that that's true or it's not true, but from my perspective, I think that the tack you're taking here is a good one, and I was very happy to sign it, and you know, there were a few words I might have put differently, but I didn't come up with the initiative to do it. You did. And so I congratulate you, and I would welcome hearing back from you from time to time with kind of what's going on with it, and are you making any progress with it?
Absolutely. I'd like to say a couple of things about it and then ask you a different question, if I might, that's not related to the petition, if that would be okay.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so first I'd like to say a couple of quick final things about the petition. So I've gotten a few objections, some more strenuous than others, to the way it was written. But I did write it with a purpose. There are a number of parts of the statement that are in quotations, do no evil, and Google's mission to make information universally accessible and usable. Those come from Google's corporate info link from their mission statement. There's a link there that says 10 things, and that's where I derive those particular words, and that's also the reason they are in quotes rather than just printed.
Sure.
Without quotes. So, you know, usually if you printed something in quotes, it's somebody else has said it. So, also I've gotten some concerns that the petition is a little vague, but I also did that for a reason too. Really because I was kind of trying to please, you know, a lot of people. I mean, I actually kind of try to do that.
Yeah.
So that's why the petition statement is essentially one sentence saying, please make it accessible.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm not advocating for or against any solution like an audio playback anything else. And I thought that was a better way to do it than to write, you know, three or four paragraphs that a lot of people might find confusing and might be turned off.
Well, and as I said to one of our previous callers, that, you know, The fact that someone did something is to me an important thing, and it gets us all moving to do something. And in this case, it's something easy. It's sign this petition, and maybe once we kind of go through this exercise together as a community, we can then find the next step, which is figuring out what do we want them to do and how do we help them to do it. So I think it's great.
I won't do anything without, and I haven't, and I've been asking, at least on my blog and podcast, for actually been asking for a few months now for some help, because I've been intending to write a letter to Dr. Eric Schmidt anyhow. I'm not going to write the letter or do anything without strenuously trying to get feedback and suggestions
sure.
from the blind community.
Sure. And even when you do that, there'll still be people who will say, I don't think you should have done.
Exactly.
I get it all the time. And, you know, and I appreciate hearing people who disagree with me. I think that's fine. You know, there's sometimes when you do the absolute best you can do, and then you gotta pick that up and run with it. So
yeah.
Good on you.
Okay, so could I talk about the other issue that doesn't have anything to do with
sure,
this?
Sure.
Maybe it will be a little bit lighter topic, actually.
Okay.
Karen and I are going on a cruise
for our
honeymoon. We're getting married in June,
and
probably
what,
on June 9th.
What cruise line?
Well, we're still researching.
Oh, my gosh. Let's see. How can I not do a commercial for Royal Caribbean?
You really like them, huh?
Oh, they are. Now, let me tell you that I've never been on any other cruise line.
Right.
However, I've talked to a lot of people who have, and they share the same opinion as I. We really have found them to be just spectacular. So maybe some other listeners have been on cruises on other lines, and they'll call in and say what they think. But that's the one that we use.
Okay, so what we're kind of thinking right now is a cruise to Bermuda. We're thinking that we don't want to have too much complication with three or four different ports.
Uh-huh.
And we'd like to just kind of spend a couple of days at one.
And that would be a cruise. In fact, not a commercial for Royal Caribbean, but we are going on their celebrity line in April with our friends Cindy and Jerry Handel from Pennsylvania for their anniversary. And this particular one is the Zenith. The name of the ship is the Zenith. And it goes out of New Jersey. And you only have two ports for the whole cruise. So you come into one end of the island and you stay there for 2 days, and then you cruise overnight to the next end and you stay there for 2 days, and then you cruise on back to New Jersey. So that would be if you didn't want to deal with a bunch of different ports, that would be a good cruise to look at.
So Celebrity is the same as Royal Caribbean now.
Yep, Royal Caribbean bought Celebrity.
Okay. So do you have any experience with any specific ships that you would recommend over others?
Well, we love the Vision of the Seas on Royal Caribbean. And we love that ship, and it's really easy to get around. Now, the Zenith is smaller than the Vision of the Seas. And so I should imagine if the Vision is easy to get around, the Zenith should be a piece of cake. The Zenith is about half the capacity of the Vision of the Seas. But, have you ever been on a cruise?
No.
Oh my gosh. It is just fabulous. One thing that you will find is that if you stand in one place long enough, and probably maybe no more than 30 seconds on any given day, a crew member will ask you, do you need some help? And if you say yes, they know, they give you their arm. If you say no, they leave you alone. There's none of this, you know, oh, but you're going to fall off the edge of the world, you know.
Good.
So it's a great experience.
Now, have you had any issues with guide dogs? Karen has Douglas.
No. No, I've had absolutely no issues. Royal Caribbean tends to use a 4x4 box. They build a wooden box, and they use cypress mulch in it. And the only minimal issues that I've had, I still occasionally have to go to the purser's desk and remind them the waste can needs to be emptied and the chips need to be refreshed, the mulch mm-hmm. needs, but that's it. They keep it on board. There's never been an issue with, oh, you can't bring that dog in the dining room or any of that. In fact, the biggest issue that I have each time I go is trying to make passengers understand why I allow the crew, who never get to see their dogs but once every 6 or 8 months, to pat my dog, but I don't allow the passengers who've, you know, mm-hmm. left their dog for a week. I mean, you know, it's like different, you know. Absolutely no issues whatsoever.
Wow, that's good. I was kind of concerned about this, now did you book this through an agency like Out of Sight Travel or?
Well, no, we use a friend of mine who is a travel agent, and she specializes in travel for people who use wheelchairs, because Gary's a wheelchair user, Connie George Travel Associates. And it was she actually who recommended Royal Caribbean to us to begin with. And she said, you know, there are some other lines that are good, but Royal Caribbean, they'll just bend over backwards to do whatever it is you need to have done. And we've definitely found that to be the case. They also have a person who is really directly, they actually have a department that's sort of responsible for, I don't know what they call it. They don't call it special services, but you know, it's that kind of a concept where if things don't go right, there's somebody that the ship can contact, and that person that people in that department have experience and training and know how to resolve the issues. So
now, ports, have you had any troubles with the different countries that you've gone to?
No, I haven't. Let's see. I've taken Maddie in Mexico with absolutely, although this time I have to say, I always take all of her, you know, papers with me. I get a health certificate and I make sure her rabies papers are up to date. And when I took her into Hawaii, which is a whole other issue because the state of Hawaii wanted us to come in through Honolulu, which would mean that I couldn't get off the ship until the end of the cruise. And I was like, no, we're not going to do that. And finally got them to agree to have an agriculture vet meet the ship at Hilo and look at her papers and bring the microchip reader, and he was fine to do it. So she supposedly is the first guide ever to have entered Hawaii on a cruise ship legally, anyway, other than through Honolulu. But this time when I went to Mexico, the purser's office called just as we were coming into Cabo San Lucas and said, oh, Mrs. Lieberg, do you have the papers for your dog? Well, of course I did, mm-hmm. but I was surprised. I said, well, they never ask for these. And he said he knew that, and yesterday they didn't want them, but today they did. So, mm-hmm. you know, the best advice is get every bit of paper on your dog that you think you're going to need and get a health certificate from the vet
mm-hmm.
that's recent.
Okay.
And make sure, like I put her guide dog ID, I put the health certificate, the rabies certificate, and when we went to Hawaii, the results of all those blood tests together in an envelope. And I made two copies, one that I kept with my passport and one that when people wanted to see it, they got it. And then if I didn't get it back, I still had that other copy.
Mm-hmm. The one with your passport.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Yeah.
So copies of it are fine then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. And it's, I mean, you know, it's been great. She's done Canada and Mexico, and then, of course, Alaska and Hawaii. But Hawaii was the most challenging, which is pretty frustrating since it's our country.
But, so you've never been to Bermuda or, like, Bahamas or something like that?
No, I've never been to Bermuda, but I'm looking forward to it.
Okay.
Yep. We're going to do it in April.
Great. Well, thank you so much for taking my call, Marlena, and I hope we could talk offline, should that be necessary, for some more specifics.
Oh, sure.
Off-air.
Sure, just drop me a note. And are you going to be at CSUN this year?
I'm not going to do it this year.
Yeah.
Because of the, need to take so much PTO
sure,
with the wedding
sure.
and the honeymoon. And I'm going to go back to the podcasting expo this year, and I think that I can do more with that.
When is the podcasting expo?
I believe it's in September this year.
Where is it?
My understanding is it's going to be in Ontario again, but I'm not 100%
certain. Oh, maybe I'll go.
Yeah, it was a great time, and if nothing else, I got to talk with people. I made quite a number of friends in the podcasting community, and
cool.
And I still have contact with several of them.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, drop me a line anytime if I can help in any way. I'd be glad to do it because I am a proponent of cruising.
Thank you so much, Marlene. You
All right.
have a good night.
And, hey, congratulations on tying the knot.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, it's about time. Take care. Bye-bye. 866. I'll say anything to anybody, won't I? Boy, someday somebody's going to smack me. 866-666-7926. We got another call. Let's bring it in. Hi there. This is Marlena. Who's this?
Hi, Marlena. This is Marcia Moses from Michigan.
Marcia Moses from Michigan!
How are you doing this evening?
I'm fine. How are you? Happy New Year!
Well, Happy New Year to you! And it sounds like you had a great time on your cruise.
Oh, we hated to come back.
Oh, I'll bet.
Oh.
Were you sunburned or anything at all?
No, you know, I'm not a big heat person anymore now that I'm an old lady, you know.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm an old lady too, but once in a while I still mess up and get one of those sunburns or something.
No, although I did enjoy walking on Acapulco Beach. I didn't take Madeline out because she's 9 and a half now and the,
right.
you know, the heat is just too much, but, I made friends with one of the people, one of the gals on the crew, and she said, "Let's go out on the beach." I said, "Okay, great, let's go." So we walked, oh gosh, about a mile in the sand, and I'll tell you a very strange thing about the sand on Acapulco Beach. I was wearing a lightweight outfit that were like pants that came to...
Oh, like capri pants?
Yeah, like capri pants, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And do you know that in the hems of both of those pant legs, they got full of sand?
Oh, yeah, I'll bet they did.
I've never seen that happen before. So I'm standing, unfortunately we had a cabin with a balcony, and I'm standing out on my balcony once we set sail, and I'm shaking the pants, and I'm thinking, you know, if you drop these, you're dead. I mean, and then I'm taking like the hem of the pants between my thumb and my forefinger, and I'm sifting the sand out to get off the fine sand. But that sand is so fine.
Oh, and I'll bet that's just wonderful sand. I mean, and I'm sure they don't bring it in from other places.
Oh no, and you know another thing I noticed different on the beach that is. Just not been my experience with beaches in this country, at least in my adult life. Not one radio, not one cigarette.
Wonderful.
It was just people sitting and reading, children running and playing and splashing and laughing, and, you know, daddies and mommies with their little ones at the shore, you know, paddling around with them, you know, the real little kids.
Are these tourists?
Yes.
Well?
No, these were natives.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, this was how the beach was. It was just the way it was.
Oh, that's excellent.
So I thought that was pretty darn cool.
And now, was Gary able to get out on the beach at all? Or
no, he stayed in and read and drank margaritas.
Oh, good for him. Oh, darn it. Yeah, that's really good. I'm sure that son wouldn't have done a whole lot for his chair, you know.
Yeah, he wouldn't have been able to get very far because
right,
it's
yeah.
so hard to, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the gears and mechanisms.
Yeah.
Oh, everything.
Yeah.
But anyway, the reason, I'm glad you had a wonderful time.
Oh my gosh, we did. We met lots of people. We became friends with one couple whom we've been emailing since we returned, and her father is a blind guy in Florida. And he seems to be pretty active. I just thought of his name. I couldn't think of his name the other day. I just now remembered it. Ron Palladini is this guy's name.
Oh, okay.
Anybody knows Ron Palladini? We met his daughter. And so they were really fun to be with on New Year's Eve. And in fact, I have an outrageous clip of being on the ship at New Year's Eve.
Are you going to podcast it?
Well, I might even play it on this show.
Cool. Oh,
tonight.
That'd be great.
Tonight.
Well, I'm just getting into podcasting or trying to.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'm working on it. I've got juice, and I'm just trying to figure out how to put things on. And I'm getting some different ideas from different people on how to do it. And I'm just, oh, gosh, I'm so new to this kind of stuff.
Well, are you on the blind casting list, or if not, you should get a hold of Jeff Bishop. And
well, I know the website. I and I have that in my favorites, so I should probably sign up for his list.
Yeah, well, I call him Dr. Bishop these
days. Oh,
absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I think Dr. Bishop has helped more people get into podcasting than I don't know what. If he had a nickel for every person he's helped, he'd probably be as wealthy as a doctor.
Well, anyway, the one reason I called in to answer your question about the petition.
Yes.
Tell my move, my bent as far as my politicism. Is that a word, politicism?
It is now.
Right. Well, I'm a move-on person, and I've signed tons of petitions up there. I consider myself a liberal and proud of it.
Hey!
And so I've signed lots of petitions, so I don't know if it does any good. I think it does. I mean, the last few weeks, as far as the way the politics of our country is going, we've managed to keep the oil drilling from happening in Alaska. We've managed to, I don't know yet about what's going to happen with Judge Alito. Well, we'll see about that in the next couple of days.
I suspect that that's a done deal.
Yeah, I do too, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But we're working on that. And I'm not a totally... I don't go out and I should try and do more, I guess. But I'm just hoping that 06 will bring back the country the way it should go. But, if you want to delete my call or whatever.
No, of course not. This is absolutely not. It happens that I agree with much of what you're saying, but even if I didn't,
right.
That one of the joys of our country, until they screw it up some more, that we can say what we feel, and that's ACB Radio is the same. So
right, that's very true.
Mm-hmm.
And I also signed Daryl's petition yesterday. So I'm one of those 490 people that signed that for Google.
Great.
I mean, we need to definitely have more access than what we've had lately.
Yeah, it seems sometimes that we go backwards four steps and go forward a step and a half, doesn't it?
It really does. I don't know why this is going on. I mean, you'd think that the way things are going, you'd think that this should be moving forward instead of backward, and I don't understand it, Marlena. Yeah. I really don't.
Do you think that blind people should be given accessible parking placards?
Not necessarily. I think, you know, if you're able to walk from point A to point B, I think you should be able to walk. I mean, is this referring to if you're driving with a sighted person?
Yeah, yeah.
No, I don't think so. If you can walk, that should be a totally different deal.
What about paratransit?
Absolutely.
So do you think that we should automatically qualify for paratransit?
Yes.
Okay. Why do you think?
Why we should be automatically qualified for paratransit?
Yeah.
Because there are times not so much this winter, but there are times when for example, where we live, we don't have any curbs and sidewalks along our main road. We live in a mobile home park. And even when you walk outside our park, we've got curbs and sidewalks in our park. But once you get outside our park, walking along the road is, there are ditches on either side of the road. And people drive down there like their lives are depending on getting wherever they're going. And absolutely. But everybody around here has opted out of our paratransit. So, we basically take cabs or depend on friends to go where we need to go.
So you don't have paratransit there?
No, we don't.
Ah.
Let me amend that. We live in Wayne County, about a few yards from Washtenaw County, which is in southeastern Michigan. And, Washtenaw County paratransit can't pick us up here because we live in Wayne County.
Wow.
So we have to go down to our local Eagles Club. I think we've talked to you about this before.
Yeah. This is sounding familiar.
Yeah, so we have to take a cab from our home in Wayne County, which costs $5 or six bucks, depending, down to the Eagles Club in Washtenaw County, where they pick us up. That's our designated pickup.
I see.
And they'll take us from there to wherever we need to go various areas of Washtenaw County. Like my husband Rob is a bowler, so he takes that out to his particular bowling alley on Tuesdays, and they drop him off usually back at home because they usually say, "Well, that's okay. We can set off the meter if he's in a cab, and they'll drop him off here at home." But otherwise, yes, we don't have pickup here to go in Washtenaw County, and Wayne County is basically out of our area.
Hmm.
There's nothing here for us.
Hmm.
And I can, and luckily, I have most of our, Rob is fortunate enough to have a physician. Well, this is a whole different story. Maybe one of these days I can email you and talk to you about this. But Rob has his physician who comes here to the house, which is wonderful. But I'm not qualified for that because I'm not on Medicare.
Medicaid. For Pete's sakes.
So, this is a totally different thing.
Wow.
So
wow.
I have to take a cab or a ride to my doctor over in Ann Arbor.
Boy, the bureaucracy is nuts at times, isn't it?
It very much so.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, Marlena, I just wanted to call and let you know and let Daryl know that I signed his petition, and I do sign all kinds of other ones. I hope they do some good.
All right. Well, I will. Hopefully, Daryl will keep us up to date with what's going on, and we'll let folks know as the time passes.
Oh, I hope so, too.
All right. Well, Happy New Year.
Well, thank you, Marlena, and I'm glad you enjoyed the cruise and enjoyed that wonderful sand.
Oh, it was great, man, especially when I was taking it out of my pants.
No. No, did you have any margaritas or anything down there?
I did.
Good for you.
I did indeed. It was great. We had a great time.
Wonderful.
All right. Take care, Marsha.
Yeah, you too.
Okay, bye-bye. 866-666-7926 is the phone number. Boy, I tell you, I feel like I'm out of practice with pushing all these buttons. It's been weeks. Hi there, this is Marlena. Who's this?
Hello, Marlena. This is Matthew Dyer from Ohio.
Hello, Matthew Dyer from Ohio, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
And can you turn your computer down a little?
I have just done so.
Ah, there you go.
I also was just going to say you've been talking a lot about this petition from Google that Dale Shandro did.
Right.
I did, in fact. I not only signed the petition. I've also looked at some of the comments people put in there, and some of the names and comments that were in there, and. One of the things I put in there myself was that, you know, we need to look at the fact that not only is, you know, I think that blind people should have the right, you know, I think that if we're a blind user of Google, rather it be their email service or whatever, you're signing up to get an account for, you really need to be able to do this independently, and you can't do that without either, like as some people mentioned, an audio type of feedback where you listen to what the characters are instead of trying to figure out by guess what they are or having someone help you do it.
Yeah, there's no way to guess what they are.
And exactly.
And you'd be dead before you ever got it right.
And it irritates me, and so I feel that I also think that, you know, like if you have a Gmail account, I think their account could be a little more accessible than it really is. I mean, yes, it's accessible, but generally, when I use my Gmail account. I can use the POP3 service, but the one problem I find with that is everything just builds up over time. And
now, what's the purpose of having a Gmail account? Why would I want one?
I did find that when I started, well, I got one because my main ISP email account that I have, you know, it's good, but I noticed that with Gmail, it really protects me against, like, I've noticed that with that, I don't get any spam at all. I have yet to see a piece of spam email in my mailbox. Yet, whereas, literally almost every day, I go into my ISP's email box, and I've got anywhere from 4 to 5 pieces of spam mail in my mailbox.
You only get 4 to 5. I get 200.
Sometimes I get. Sometimes now there is an occasion where I get more than that, depending on. Now my friend and we, but my friend uses the same ISP and she gets more than I do, so it varies. I think from one person to the next, account to the next, or whatever.
I'm very serious, Matthew. When I came back from my cruise, you know, we didn't have wireless on the ship. I think we'll have it on the next cruise, but we didn't have it on this one, so I didn't get to check my mail for 10 days. And I came back, and I had in my spam folder on the website, where, you know, because you got to empty it. The ISP has a spam filter that tries to trap some stuff, and it does. But I had, there alone, I had 1,500. And then in my inbox, the ones that it didn't trap, I probably had about 500 more. So that's my...
Your, that was almost 20, almost...
2,000 pieces of spam, yeah.
In spam.
In
that's
10
ridiculous.
Days. And that's normal for me. I mean, I'm so sick of hearing from doctor about drugs.
Oh, I know. I get stuff like, I get stuff like about, pills. You know, different pills and stuff. It's
Viagra.
Ridiculous.
I don't even take but Viagra.
I went and signed up for this Gmail account, and I don't see a single thing about that.
Mm.
I mean, I either get a private message if I give someone my email address, or I simply don't get anything. I mean, I had my couple of email lists on there at one point, but one of the things that I majorly ran into was that when I was using the POP3 service, it would retrieve the mail, but I would go in to look at it later, and I think that if it gets deleted from, you know, from your inbox in your, rather you use either Outlook Express or even Microsoft Outlook, it should be deleted from the web-based inbox as well. That
well,
way
you should
you're
be
not,
able to, you should be able to set that up through your, your email client, I would think.
Yeah, it is. But I'm saying, like, what happens is you delete it from your client, but what happens is it, technically you still have it. It's not actually deleting it from the server. It's deleting it from your client, but when you go to look at it at your web account later, like, say you are using a computer that it's not configured for POP3 access, you've got over 1,500 emails because they didn't actually get deleted. They just got removed from your client.
Well, that's crummy.
Exactly. Yeah. And I that's why I stopped using it, because I figured I can use it for web-based email, like for private mail if I want to or something like that, but I'm not going to use it for mail list email because it just clutters everything up.
Yeah, yeah.
But one of the things also I noticed that and if you ever were to sign up for this, you might notice this. You have to, if you're a JAWS user, you have to switch to basic HTML, or it doesn't, or it just simply does not look, it just doesn't, JAWS just doesn't work very well with it otherwise.
Well, I use Windowize, so I don't know.
Well, I guess in general, if it, whatever screenreader you're using, it wouldn't, it would look, it looks more like, this, it just looks more like this big, huge, it just looks like a bunch of graphics that you, it just doesn't look great.
Well, maybe we'll get a Windowize user to call in
and
tell us.
But anyway, I've been on search for some different, trying to figure out what email services are good that, where I can, you know, try to keep some of my spam filter, spam out of in control because, I do on occasions get spam that I just don't want, and it just sometimes
I never get any spam I want. I never get spam I want.
Well, I just feel like, you know, I sometimes wonder about my PC because I've been having a lot of weird issues, and I'm wondering if some of it's caused by some of the spam I get sometimes, and some of it I've tried different antivirus programs, and I've had a lot of I don't want to say bad luck or good luck. I just had issues, some minor issues come up, and I can't even set up a hotkey for my JAWS or anything.
Oh, man.
It's getting, I don't know what's going on with it, but it's kind of, and I think it's, I don't know if it started after, sometime after I had a second drive put in or before that, because I haven't really had any, because before that there was no need not to set up a hotkey because I hadn't upgraded my JAWS since then, or my screen reader since then. But
I'm going to cut you loose here because we've been on for quite a few minutes. But maybe somebody will call in with some tips about Gmail.
Yeah, I thought I should let you guys know you're talking to a user, you know, somebody who not only is a user of Google, but who has signed the petition, hoping that we'll get some feedback on that, because I think that some of the features in Google could be a little more accessible than what they are now. And
all right,
I'll just leave you with that.
All right,
and I'll keep listening, hoping somebody will give us some tips, because that's kind of a strange thing to come across. But
all right, well, let's see if they do. And you have
right.
a happy new year.
You too, Marlena.
All right, Matthew, take care.
You too.
Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. I've never used Gmail. I don't know what Gmail's all about. Hi, this is Marlena. Who's this?
Happy New Year, Marlena. This is Frank from Albany.
Hey, it's Frank from Albany.
That's me.
Let's see. If I can say Stan the Man from Oregon, can I say Frank Casey from Albany?
That's correct.
Well, there you go. How you doing?
Good. It's 8 degrees above zero here in Albany.
Oh, my God. Don't you think it's time to move?
No. Oh. We got about 4 or 5 inches of snow. This is the great northeast.
Oh, yeah. Well, good. You keep it and tell it I said hello.
We'll bag it and bring it out to you.
No.
Anything for a friend.
I'm in the gentle northwest.
Oh, okay.
What's
going on?
What
are we talking about tonight? I saw it looked like a big smorgasbord of...
It was like a cafeteria. No, you know what it was? It was Marlena being paranoid that nobody would call. And that I'd be sitting here talking to myself for 2 big hours.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, I hope not, but I worry about it. Every time I don't have a guest, I think, oh, what if nobody calls? So we've kind of got 4 topics and then anything else anybody wants to talk about.
I think we were talking about, you mentioned something about paratransit.
Yeah.
I call it parastranded. But Oh, terrible.
Yeah, my question was, should blind people automatically be eligible for paratransit?
I think there should be, I don't think it should be a carte blanche, but I think there should be some minimal standards. I'll give you an example. Here in the Albany, New York area, you have to get a doctor's note, and the local transit company bases their judgment, whether you get paratransit or not, on what your doctor says. Now, some people, like my wife Kathy, she is on what they call a seasonal provision, which means from November through the end of March, you are automatically eligible
mm-hmm.
for paratransit because of the winter weather and stuff like that. In the summertime, normally you're not. However, if you're in a situation where you really need to go someplace that's not too convenient or it's a little off the beaten path, if you call them and explain your situation, there's no problem. I'm on the full-time plan where I can get it at any time. But I think there has to be some kind of control, if you will. Maybe that's not the word I'm looking for. Because, you know, there's some people who use the paratransit system, you know, as a cheap form of cab fare. I mean,
mm-hmm.
we've had some people who, within the city of Albany, you can take a cab for between $6 and $10. And we had some people who would take paratransit within the city and could afford it, because they could pay $2 for paratransit each way
mm-hmm.
versus $6 on a cab fare. Now, to me, that's, you know, that's kind of abuse, and it could be taking the service away from somebody who needs a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think we have to put some minimal standards in to make sure that the system doesn't get overloaded and abused.
Are you there?
Yep.
Oh, okay. I thought I heard my line.
I came up for air.
Oh, okay. Oh, you scared me. But then, I mean, how do you do that? How do you develop a subjective policy, you know, that says...
Well, I think, like I said, here, the paratransit company goes by what the doctor says, and based on that, that's how they do it. Now, I don't, you know, is it... I'm not sure there's any real good way or bad way. That's my opinion on it. I mean, I'm certainly not looking for, you know, to throw anybody out of the system. But
I think,
you know, I mean, I think, for example, a lot of the people with wheelchairs try to take the regular line buses.
Yeah.
Because they are accessible. And if those people with wheelchairs can do it, I think blind people can try to do it, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about the people who can't, but there's a lot of people who can get on the bus. I mean, you know, the bus stops right outside my house. I can use the bus. You know, and I just think it's, you know, there's got to be some reasonable control. I don't mean it's got to be stiff, but some minimal standards that will keep, won't overload the system. Because it's not an easy thing to, you know, to organize. And I know that, you know, well, you're going to hear people say, well, you know, I'm blind, I got my rights. But with rights come some responsibility, and I think we have to work together with the paratransit companies to try to meet a happy medium.
Yeah. One of the things that, and I have used paratransit here in Seattle, and I don't use it much, but I have.
Right.
But one of the things that, and I'm absolutely not wanting to cast any stones to anyone here, and I'm just making just an honest observation that, right, that I see a lot. You know, people will say, well, I don't live near a bus stop. Well, why did you move there?
Exactly.
You know, that's one of, and I never sort of want to say that directly to anyone, because I never want to put anyone on the spot or make them feel, you know, in
any way.
Well,
you know, when Kathy and I decided to get married, that is what we took into account.
Right. And you know, I mean, I don't know how old you are, but, you know, you sound like you're getting old like me.
And I'm 56, so
yeah, well, so we're the same age. And back in our 20s, we didn't have paratransit.
No.
And so before you moved anywhere, the first thing you looked at is, how can I get around? What's the transportation like?
Yep.
So,
well, we've got two or three bus routes in my neighborhood, and I made sure we had transportation and places to eat. So I'm a happy camper.
Yeah, that's right. Transportation and
two
places
bakeries,
to eat.
There's a couple of pizza places.
I'm coming to your house.
Yeah.
We could take the bus and eat pizza.
Right. But you can walk, you don't need to take the bus.
Well, there you go.
Get Chinese food.
Yeah.
I broke the Chinese place in Good around here. It was a very funny story. We had a new Chinese place that opened up, and I promised Kathy I'd get her a meal there. Well, I went up to this place, and I said, call it in and I'll pick it up. Well, Kathy called it in, and I went up to this new Chinese place, and I honestly thought the place was open. Well, I walked in, and first I almost walked into the owner's apartment. He was Chinese, couldn't speak. You're walking into my apartment. I said, well, I'm sorry, I'm trying to find a Chinese restaurant. We're not open yet. I said, oh, my God. So I came home. I said, Kathy, somewhere in the city is your Chinese dinner. So we finally found out where it was, and they delivered it, but it was
oh,
funny.
Oh, that's very funny.
Food.
But, that's
I
very
mean,
funny.
You do have to, seriously, you do have to go to great lengths to find out where you're going to be living, because you hear so many blind people complain, well, nobody comes out to visit me. Well, yeah, because you're out in the middle of East West Cupcake where
yeah.
nobody gets it.
Yeah.
So I do think you have to be a little bit realistic.
Yeah. And I mean, and I know the flip side to this, because I can hear people screaming at their computers right now, and I totally know the flip side to this is the closer you live to transportation, the more expensive the housing is, and I know that, and I know it's a conundrum, but boy, oh boy, oh boy, what did we do before paratransit?
That's a fallacy, though, because I mean, like, if you live in the city of Albany, where there is transportation, the houses aren't as expensive as living out in the suburbs, nor are the taxes. So, I mean, I guess it depends. Maybe it's not that way all over, but I know around here, if you live out, there's one like the town of Colony, which is just west of Albany. If you live out there, you may pay taxes in two different school districts. So, plus the fact if you want to go into the city of Albany, take a cab, it's $12 one way. So, it really isn't too expensive living in the city of Albany.
Yeah.
Or Schenectady or Troy. Now, that's the basic capital region, Albany, Schenectady, Troy. Now, some other areas, maybe it's different. I don't know what it's like out where you are. But here, you know, you don't do too bad if you live in the city.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's see what everybody else thinks.
Okay. Have a happy New Year.
All right. Happy New Year to you and Kathy.
Okay.
Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. It's about 25 minutes past our second hour. And if you're listening to this program at any time other than right now, let's see. 6 to 7 Pacific, 9 to 10 Eastern in North America, 2 to 3 Universal. It's a repeat, so we'd like you to just put your feet up and enjoy. We have a caller. Hi there. You're with Marlena. Who's this?
Oh, you have hit my hot button.
Oh, my God. I've been wanting to do that for years.
This is Stan.
Stan the man from Oregon.
Yes, indeed. And, of course, you hit the hot button because we've been talking about paratransit.
Yes.
And as you and maybe some of your listeners may remember, I am a board member for the Rogue Valley Transportation District here in Southern Oregon.
Yes.
Now, first of all, let me say, I think it is, and people are going to disagree like that last caller, but I think it's important that all of us, especially since the ADA had, you know, put this into the deal for paratransit, I think that all blind people should be given the option of taking paratransit or not.
Okay.
And I think one of the big reasons is something we've talked about, and it's only going to get worse as time goes on, the issues of hybrid cars.
Yes, yes.
And I think that's just one reason of many. And with all due respect to the last caller, anyone who's been around for any length of time knows that many bus routes are often changed. Bus stops are removed because of budget constraints.
Yes.
That has happened in the Bay Area of California. It's happened elsewhere. So I think people should think a little bit before they, you know, carry forth. And I understand his views on this. But the thing is, and I would also say this, too. I think people need to be more involved. I think the reason I'm so adamant about this is that people oftentimes complain about transportation and paratransit, but they don't take the time when they can to go to a board meeting and let board members know their take on situations. Pro or con?
Yeah, and I mean that's typical with every facet of our life.
It is, but it's something that I really I really enjoyed listening. I love that last caller story about the Chinese.
Wasn't that great?
But I mean, I think that one of the issues is that we need to have at least something thought of, especially if you're in a situation where you would depend on paratransit to if you're gainfully employed. I think that's another reason why it's important to have it, because you can't always rely on buses to necessarily get you there in a timely manner.
But I'm going to play the devil's advocate.
Go ahead, I love it.
Because as I said, I am registered for Seattle's paratransit.
Right.
But I mean, Stan, we got to work years ago on buses and subways.
Well, years ago, we had wagon trains, too.
Yeah, but we were able to participate.
I am sorry. I don't care. I think this, but we may have been able to participate, but we've always had trouble getting people to work in large numbers as a blind community. I mean, you know, depending on the numbers, we still have quite a few unemployed.
No, we have many unemployed, but I'm not sure that paratransit is going to resolve that.
No, it isn't, but I think it's going to help.
Okay.
And I think the thing of the matter is, the reason I think it's even more important now is that you're having more and more difficulties. I mean, if you take a look at some of the statistics, you're having more accidents involving blind people.
Yeah.
And one of the things that's of interest, too, is you have, Jonathan Mosen? Give an example. He was talking about his inner ear problems, which
right.
many blind people have.
Right.
And would be due to allergies or whatever. So you can have situations that, we didn't take this into account years ago, and we should, doesn't quite beg the question. Well, I think we need to consider that.
First of all, I think, and that's one of the reasons that I qualify, actually, is because I have a hearing impairment, which not a lot of people know, but I do. Gary knows, because I can never hear what he's saying.
No, it's not selective.
It's not selective. So to me, that's not qualifying necessarily because I'm a blind person. It's because I have this complication. And I don't even care if blind people take paratransit.
Right.
I think people should do what works for them.
Exactly.
What I really believe. The people need to do what works for them. But I do have some concerns when I see, you know, people say, well, at a Washington Council of the Blind chapter meeting yesterday, some folks were talking about membership, and someone said, well, what about so-and-so? You know, why doesn't so-and-so and his wife come? And the answer was, oh, they said paratransit's not reliable on a Saturday. Well, you know, there's a bus stop right at the corner of the street where this meeting is, and so... are we sometimes letting paratransit define where we go and what we do because we're not using those buses and subways at the same level, and maybe our confidence is a little off?
You haven't convinced me. I still think you need to have the choice.
I think
really you're touching at something that's even more systemic other than just paratransit. What I think you really could be indicating in this regard are the people saying, using the paratransit's reliability as an excuse in the respect that they would not show up whether paratransit was reliable on a Saturday.
Could be.
Or not. Yeah, because... I mean, I don't know about the state of Washington, but I've heard from other people whether it be Council of the Blind or insert organization's name. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That there is a great deal of apathy that goes on. So you have trouble getting people to attend, you have trouble getting people to do, you know, the work, in other words, you and maybe several people in the chapter may do the work, but a lot of people would be just going to socialize rather than to do any kind of volunteer.
Right. And I don't know these people, so there's no way.
No, but what I'm saying
no way
is,
to know that. But.
No, we don't. But what I'm saying is, you know and I know how it works with people being apathetic. In other words, your organization probably has, I don't know how many members you have in your one, but I imagine a lot of those meetings are really sparsely attended, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I know that when I was vice president of my chapter in Contra Costa County in California, that we'd have people volunteer, you know, take people that would have the, you know, maybe sighted drivers, and volunteer to pick people up. And they would still say that they couldn't go because they had a hangnail or whatever.
I thought you were going to say a hangover.
Well, that too.
That could be.
People that I know.
They were drinking those margaritas with me.
Yes, busy margarita bill. But, you know, I mean, I don't know. I think that it's just systemic of American life is that people are so apathetic.
Yeah, but I guess my point is that do we? I mean, paratransit can limit you in some regards, and if we fall too much into the well, that's the only choice I'm going to use mode. I just worry that we're not doing ourselves a favor.
Well, I still think I'd rather err on the side of worrying about that than not having that choice.
Yeah.
Because I think if we could always find something to worry about.
Well, I'm going to have to start taking paratransit some more and see what I think about
it. And if you do, and I know you have my email address.
I do.
If your paratransit provider is, and I think it might be, Paratransit Services.
Uh-huh.
Please do Uncle Stan a favor.
Okay.
And try them and see how they are and give me a little yippity-yap via email.
All right.
Because we
Can I push your button again?
You could push my button anytime you want. But, let me know, because what we're doing is seeing how these people are doing, because we have the option of saying renewal in 90 days or hit the road, Jack.
Oh, okay.
We're having problems up here right now, and we're trying to fix them.
Okay. All right.
And you have a great evening.
Well, you do the same, my friend.
Okay.
Take care. Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. It's about 37 minutes past our second hour. I'll be with you till just about the top of the hour, and then you get the replay, and we got a call. Let's bring them on in. Hi there, this is Marlena. Who's this? Hello?
Hello, Marlena. It's Pam.
Hello, Pam.
Hi. Wow, every time one of these shows comes up, I feel like I ought to be taking notes before I call in.
But me too! And I've got to keep in touch with it all.
I bet you do. First of all, I wanted to say that, and I didn't answer right away because Whiz Bang Fingers Dave was handing me the phone. He said, I'll get you in.
Good,
Renee. Anyway, a couple things I wanted to... Oh, well, never mind. Nastiness is in the eye of the beholder. That's what I'll say.
Okay.
Anyway, figure it out, and if you don't, so much the better. Anyway, but no, I do agree with, well, I think we need paratransit because, and saying that, I say I do not use paratransit unless I absolutely have to.
Now, why do you?
Because I prefer to take the bus.
And why do you prefer to take the
bus?
Because
I guess part of it is I feel a little bit more independent.
Okay.
And secondly, some of the paratransit providers aren't that reliable. I figure if I miss the bus, it's either because I messed around and didn't get out there in time, which does happen, and that 15-minute window on each side, I'd just soon be screwing up and missing the bus on my own.
Okay.
For example, I go to visit a friend in Fresno, which is about 40 miles north of us, and it costs about, $20 to get to Fresno on the bus. And there is also no inter-county service, not even to the county next door. So what I have done is to go to Fresno on the bus, take paratransit, and I contacted them and they said fine, and you have 21 days a year.
Right.
And I go to Fresno and I have taken paratransit, which saves me another $11 cab ride.
So you take paratransit from the bus?
From the bus station,
right,
to,
okay,
her apartment.
Okay.
Now, the funny thing about that was that I did that the first time I've ever done it, and I called the paratransit, scheduled my ride. Well, they were running so far behind that they, and I guess they do this when necessary, they contract with a taxi company to handle the overflow. So I wound up in a taxi, and they didn't charge me. Now, heaven knows I was prepared to pay the paratransit fee.
Mm-hmm.
But then I went home via taxi, because then I could stay as long as I wanted to. That is to say, I went to the Greyhound station by my own private taxi,
mm-hmm,
arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it helped out.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm,
you know, sometimes they're just, the transit just isn't there.
So what you're saying is that sometimes you use paratransit to mitigate some of the obstacles you as a blind person face in certain forms of travel.
That's right.
Okay. Okay.
Now I do wonder why some of our other friends locally, there's one lady in particular who takes paratransit constantly, and I suspect that she just hasn't had a lot of mobility training, and that could also be true. Now, she walks around the block every day, but sometimes twice. But she just, I guess, doesn't feel comfortable enough with paratransit, with transit. So I often wonder, and she is on a limited income, and she does take a taxi, take a paratransit, rather.
Well, and I think Stan brings up a very good point as well, that there are other environmental issues going on in this day and age that weren't, you know, when we were young upstarts. And, you know, it is harder to cross a street now. I know my friends in the Federation wouldn't agree with me, but it's my opinion. It is more difficult to cross a street now.
Dave wishes I wouldn't, because as we've mentioned, I do tend to veer.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I scare the holy hell out of them, and I know I do.
Yeah.
And if my feet and legs, now I do have rather weak ankles and feet, and I've, you know, try to walk, but maybe not as much as I should, but, and my knees are starting to get crickety-cracky, and my mother's had two knee replacements. So if my legs ever get to the point where I would not be able to take the bus, I might apply for a paratransit. I might want to use more paratransit. I might even apply for a placard. But not because of my blindness. I mean, my mother got to me the other day. Well, my mother can do that very well, but I was going to visit her in Florida, and the first thing she said was, bring your handicap parking sticker. And I said, Mom, I don't have one. Well, she just assumed, because they used to do that when I was a kid.
Yeah.
They used to use it that way for me. And the next thing I found out was that she ordered me a wheelchair. Well, I realized some people, of course, need them, but when I found out she did that without my permission, I almost canceled the trip.
Yeah.
For her to take that kind of action.
Yeah, yeah, that's...
But that's a whole other story.
Yeah, we need to do a program some night on blind people and families.
Jesus, you wouldn't let me on the air because my language would probably be so rude.
I'd let you on the air anytime. I just need to... I need to identify a good professional that I could have on as a guest because,
I mean, my mother and I will never be alone together again. I have determined that.
Yeah.
Because it was a solid 3 weeks, 3 days, thank God, of, you're not going to do this, you're not going to you're not going to wear that bib. I said, yes, mother. Let me fix your hair. No, mother. I mean, it was constant.
Yeah.
And I said, never again.
Yeah.
But anyway, what I also wanted to say was regarding cruises. We have had the most fantastic experiences with cruises. We've gone on Carnival, and some people don't like Carnival. And Princess. Well, Princess is bought out by Carnival now. But we have had the very wonderful times. And on two occasions, well, what they did for Goliath, they put, Carnival put a piece of indoor-outdoor carpeting on the second from the upper deck. In fact, we were told that it's where the nude sunbathers go.
Okay!
Hey, yeah. So, at first he was a little bit like, what do you mean? You want me to go on a carpet? And what we were advised to do was to take a sample and put it on the rug. And
I would think that would teach him that it's okay to go on carpets.
I would think so too, but he kind of looked for us. Don't go as such a mellow dog. He kind of
Yeah, he's a good boy.
Yeah, he is. Are you sure this is what you want? Okay. Then the second time, they put a box of some kind of chips, again, on one of the decks. I often wonder if, you know, how much room they're going to take on your balcony or in your bathroom if you do that.
Oh, I never have it on the on our balcony. It's I always have to go somewhere.
Yeah. But what I also wanted to say, by the way, my mother tried to again order us a accessibility room, again without consulting, and I called the travel agent and I said no. Well, the reason I bring that up is that we were standing in the on the deck right near our sleeping rooms and the one or our staterooms, and the one lady said, "I'm so glad you canceled that room," because and I forget whether I mentioned, I forget how it came up that we canceled the room, but she said, "Had you not done that, my mother would not have been able to come on the cruise."
Oh, see, that's
she truly needed it.
Yeah.
But what I was also going to say,
and then after this, I'm going to have to let you go.
Yeah, gotcha. So this is actually what I was going to say first. on one cruise that we went on, the ACB cruise a couple of years ago, some of the guide dog users had not completed their documents. And I think it was in Jamaica, in Ocho Rios, or either Grand Cayman or Ocho Rios. I think it was Ocho Rios. They were not permitted to take their dogs off the ship because they had not come aboard with the proper documentation. It didn't matter anywhere else, but at that particular port of call, they were not permitted. And they were upset. And
well, you know, they should have completed the documents.
That's what we said, and that's what the folks on board ship said.
Yep.
It's, you know, there's nothing we can do about it. The government, this government says no, and we can't have you, doing it.
That's
well,
right.
A friend of ours, took a trip to Israel and to, into Jerusalem. She could not take her guide dog into a mosque. She waited on the bus with him, but they would not permit the dog in the mosque.
All right, well, I got to let you go.
Okie dokie.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We are just coming to the end. It's about 48 minutes past the hour. Have time for one or two quick more calls at 866-666-7926. Next week, my guest is going to be Miss Chrissy Cochran, who is a very familiar face, voice, and part of ACB Radio and certainly ACB Radio Interactive. Her program, Chrissy on Air, is heard weekly. Oh boy, now I can't remember the exact time, so you'll have to check the schedule. I believe it's on it's Tuesdays, but I can't remember the exact time. But she's also carved out quite a niche for herself in the ACB Radio Cafe, so make sure you check it out next week. Hi, this is Marlena. Who's this?
This is Nikki from Minnesota, Marlena.
Hi, Nikki from Minnesota, Marlena. How are you?
I'm good. I haven't talked to you in a long time.
Let's see now. Who was it? Margaret Johnson, who lives in Arkansas and who phones me up here at home from time to time, wanted me to tell you that she thinks you are an extremely mature young woman.
Well, the next time you talk to her, tell her I say thank you.
Well, she's probably listening.
Oh, well, then, thank you.
There you go.
All right.
What's going on with you, Miss Nick?
Well, I was going to ask you if you intentionally picked about four of the most interesting questions.
I was afraid if I didn't pick four hot things, nobody would call.
But I kind of, you know, there's a few questions. Of those questions were relating to, you know, should we use resources that are general disability resources, you know, where with the parking stickers or however those work and the paratransit. And I guess my feeling is it's not an either or, yes or no. I think there's situations for yes and situations for no.
Mm-hmm.
My personal feeling is if I know that my using the resource will cause someone else who might need it more than I do to not be able to, then I probably won't.
Well, see, that's my objection to the parking thing.
Yeah.
You know, because now what's interesting, Gary doesn't agree with me. Gary will say that the most dangerous place that you can walk is, there are two of the most dangerous places in this order are parking lots and intersections.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and Gary is very much, in support. I actually got some of these issues from some bills that are introduced into this year's Washington State Legislature. So, so we have a house divided on the parking issue because he's very much in favor that blind people should, if they want them, have parking placards. I, on the other hand, am not, because I see how much abuse there already is, and I don't want to open it up to anybody, you know, any additional abuse.
I think, for me at least, if I'm concerned about the parking lot, obviously, if I'm, one would hope that if I'm using a wheelchair accessible sticker, then I had better have a sighted driver that I could go sighted guide with.
Right.
So that's my own personal way of handling it. But I, because of other health issues, I am not completely saying that I would never use an accessible sticker.
Well, exactly. And because of my asthma, I would use one. But I wouldn't use it because I'm blind, necessarily.
Yeah. And that's my personal feeling. It's like our church only has one wheelchair accessible stall per bathroom. You know, like in the ladies' room, there's only, well, there's only two stalls to begin with, but there's only one that's wheelchair accessible. And with Julio, it's a little bit easier, and especially the way the bathroom is designed, if I can use that stall. But there's also people in that church that have knee problems where the higher seat is easier, or there's people that use wheelchairs. So if I know they're there, I just deal with it and use the harder stall. But, I mean, that's my own personal preference.
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much use the wheelchair accessible stalls because I can't get Madeline into the smaller ones, and I don't want to leave her out in the bathroom.
Yeah,
you know, and so oops, I'm getting MSNs here. It's hard to get MSN when I'm talking and read what it says. Where was I? Oh, so I tend to use the wheelchair accessible bathrooms when I have Madeline. But if I'm caning it, I don't use them then.
Yeah.
I don't need them.
Yeah. I've only used them. The only time I did do that once, which was out of my control, was I had a cast boot, a cane, and another cane
it.
One time.
You needed it then with
yeah.
that cast boot.
Yeah, that was interesting. We'll just put it that way.
Yeah.
But, I mean, and in Minnesota, that means you shovel while you walk, so. But I think it's just a matter of, I kind of treat it like triage. Who do I think needs it most? And if that's not me, then I just don't use it at the time.
Well, I do think some of this stuff is circumstantial.
Yeah.
And it just kind of depends on, you know, what the situation is at the time. So
yeah.
What, real quickly, what do you think about one of the bills Washington State's looking at, is giving puppy raisers with their puppies, puppy guide dog puppy raisers, the same right of access in Washington State as blind people with their guide dogs have. What do you think about that?
Well, I'm not sure about that. Personally, I think that's good, but I hope you're still at the mercy of people hoping that these puppy raisers are as good as you hope they are.
Or hoping that they're really legitimate puppy raisers.
Exactly. And I think, I almost think there should be a required, some kind of a litmus test, like an ID or something.
The ADA won't allow that.
Right, but if it's not for specifically for someone with a disability, you know, like, now if the puppy raiser has a disability, then it gets really interesting. But if I've got, say, my sighted sister was raising a dog for Guide Dogs for the Blind, could they not have an ID saying this is a dog in training?
Okay,
and could
but
that not be?
Okay, now what about the person who is self-training their puppy?
Ah, good point. That gets really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's, you know, I'm gonna give her credit. Sue Amateur here in Washington State posted the most logical response, in my opinion, that I've seen to this question, and that is that the law in Washington State currently protects the civil right of a blind person to be in public places of accommodation with their guide dogs. That the law doesn't cover the dog. It protects your civil right as a citizen. So, so it's a twisty, curvy road, isn't it?
It's a challenge, and I can understand from the Razor's perspective where it gets hard, you know, if you don't have really any backing, or you feel like you don't have any backing to try to train your dog that you're training at the time.
Yeah.
So I can understand their frustration, too, but it's one of those lovely quagmires, I guess.
Yeah, yep, it sure is. It sure is. So I don't know. I'll let you know how it all turns out.
It'll be interesting.
Yeah. So we're just about out of time, but you're heading back to school?
I still have to stay at home for 2 more weeks.
Boy, help me. You get these long vacations.
Well, okay, I had the opportunity to go to France for J-term.
Yes.
But due to, you know, concerns about health, I decided not to.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But no, we have this J-term, which I could be getting 4 credits towards my schooling right now, but instead I'm sitting at home playing on the Internet. So.
Well, that's all right. I haven't seen you on Skype lately.
I know. We have, our Internet isn't fast enough.
Oh, that satellite thing won't work, huh?
It just doesn't work well enough.
Okay. All right. I'm going to cut you loose.
Yep, I'll try to chat with you later this week, probably.
Yeah, I should be around most of the week. Sorry, I'm writing something. I'm blah, 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 blah. And my MSN's going off, and yikes. You
well,
guys
hopefully.
Don't MSN me. I can't talk and read it at the same time. Get a hold of me.
All right, I'll catch you later.
All right?
All right.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. That was certainly a cogent ending, wasn't it? Duh. Next week, Miss Chrissy Cochran will be my guest. You can hear her on Tuesdays at 21 Universal on ACB Radio Interactive for Chrissy on Air. And she is the manager of the ACB Radio Cafe. But Chrissy has a fabulous and, I think, fascinating story to tell. And so she's going to come on with us next week and tell us that story. It's been a gas, you guys. You made me feel really glad to be back home. Thank you so very much for joining me on this year's very first Marlena. You've been listening to Marlena on ACB Radio. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. But in the meantime, if you've got an idea for a future show, why not drop me an email? The email address is Marlena, that's M-A-R-L-A-I-N-A, at acbradio.org. Thanks to Dave Williams, director of ACB Radio, and most of all, thanks to you, the listener. See you.